Well, I was really amazed at how the Holy Spirit put together the message through Mark this morning. But it's the same thought. It's the same mind flowing through all of this. You'll see it here. He didn't exactly preach my message, but it was close. Now, you can open to Ephesians 4. And I'm just going to review real quickly. Everyone always goes, sure you are. Yeah. I try. I honestly do. But I have to get our minds going down this path again so we're all on the same page. And then the idea is to go just a little bit further. Well, the more I'm understanding this renewing of the mind process, and the reason we're starting in Ephesians 4, this is our jumping off point, it seems like, for every message right now. We studied the book of Ephesians for about 6 months now. And we're going to be back into the armor of God, I think, by the end of this service. But see, putting on that armor of God and going forth unto war, just exactly like Mark was talking about this morning, the success of you accomplishing that really hinges on three verses in Ephesians 4. So let's look at them again. It's Ephesians 4, verses 22, 23, and 24. Even as I read this, you've been taught Ephesians 6 enough to know, put on the whole armor of God. Why put it on? So that you may be able to stand against the strategies, the wiles of the devil. And then he starts listing all of that armor, and we've already been through it, item by item by item. But see, how you do that? See, okay, well, in Sunday school, they had us do it by going through the motions. All right now, little children, come on now. Put on the breastplate. Put it on. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the helmet of salvation. They'd lead you step by step. And that's okay. You got to start getting the concept across somewhere. But see, if you try and do that when the devil comes to attack you with cancer, you're going to put on a nice entertainment show for him. Because it has no effect on him whatsoever. What does it really mean? Where is that struggle? How do you really put it on? Well, the answer is right in the middle of the book. It's Ephesians 4 here. So let's look at it again. Starting in verse 22. Put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Let's jump to verse 24. That's the goal part of it. Put the old one off, so that you can put on the new man. And this new man, this is the part of you that you received when you got born again. It is created. The moment you receive Jesus into your heart, there's a new spirit on the inside of you. And notice, it is not corrupt. It is not corrupt. Look at somebody. There's a part of me that is not corrupt. Say it this way. There is a part of me that is righteous and holy, born that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we're trying to get that guy on the outside. That's another way of talking about putting on the whole armor of God. Your new man is your armor. Your new man is the image of Christ. Your new man is the promised land to be possessed, if you'll allow me. Well, how in the world do you make that transition, Gary? I already went to the altar. I got saved. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I can talk in tongues. You want to hear me here? You know, I can prophesy. I can do all that. But how do I put on the armor? How do I put on that new man? There's one way and one way only, and the church has missed it for about 2,000 years since the first century. And here it is. It's the connecting verse between those two. It's verse 23. You've got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. People, the battlefield is the mind within you. That's where all the warfare is going to take place. You're going to possess the land there, or you're not going to possess the land. And if you think the devil's going to back off and let you just tippy toe through there, you need to read the book of Joshua again. I mean, the Hittites are in the land. And again, let's go with Gary. I'll be mean to me and nice on you. And you talk about the ites in the land. I've already driven. There's been big major warfares. Alcoholites have gone. Pornographites, that camp was destroyed. Then there was the greedites. Anyone ever have any greedites? How about envyites? Hatredites. You know, then with me, there was the nicotineites. With you, it might be the soap operaites. Gossipites. Gossipites. Prideites. All kinds of ites. The worst one I've come up against, one of the worst ones is unworthyites. There's a big camp in most Christians called unworthyites. And really, another name for unbeliefites. Because the only reason you think you're unworthy is you don't believe what He did for you. You're dismissed. Thank you very much. Well, how do you change? See, I used to feel so hopeless in the early days because, I mean, it was real clear that God's not going to change. I mean, there's not even a shadow of turning in Him. He's not going to change. I'm pretty sure the devil's not going to repent, and he's not going to change. You know? But see, the good news is, and God's Word, He doesn't alter the thing that's gone out of His mouth. God's Word isn't going to change. So I felt hopeless until it finally, you know, one day Dave said, you know what's good about that? What's good about that is you can change. Well, glory to God. So this whole thing is about possessing the land. And if you weren't here at the 8:30, I've just got all this goes to Mark. I love this. Now, he says, when you're taking the land. See, God, he said, when he told Joshua and to go in and possess the land, one of the things he said, don't make any treaties with them. See, that's where the whole church is. We've made treaties with our ites. We have learned to live, well, this is just how I am. God says, that is not how you are. You are righteous and holy in the image of my Son that I created and put in you. Your problem is you've learned to live with the ites. Well, I'm just a short-tempered Christian. That's just the way I am. I can't change. There's nothing I can do to change. You're just going to have to love me the way I am, and we will, and He does, but you don't have to stay that way. Amen. Or however else it is. So Mark says, look, we're in the process of taking the land. So God says, everywhere that the sole of your foot shall tread, I've given you that land. So He did it perfectly. He says, all right, there's some more land that God has for me. Let's call it peace. More peace. How many thinks you could walk in more peace than you're walking in now? And you step over there, aha, I have more peace. Ah, there's some more land called joy. How many think there might be some more joy? You know, and you get ready to step over there. The problem is somebody else is occupying your ground. There's something keeping you from walking in that, and you're going, ha! There's an ite in my land. Maybe I should make a treaty. Is that what God said do? Maybe I can have more joy and just live with this thing. Is that what God said? No, Mark did it perfect. He said, no, you draw the sword. What was the command? Kill them all. Kill that ite. Kill it. Mercy, mercy, die. Just let me live a little bit. Die. But don't stop there. Because there's another part of the abundant life called anointing. How about revival? Why aren't we already walking there? Well, part of it is religion has told you it doesn't exist. There is no such thing as miracles today. There is none of that. You got to get past that first. But then when you start possessing the land, you're going to find out there's an enemy. And it's see, now this is illustrating it, right? You know where that really is? That all happens right here in the mind. You've got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's say it this way. God put a new nature in you. It is His new spirit, is the part of you that is birthed of God. He breathed life into you. Whatever analogy you like, you're not that same old sinful fallen creature from Adam that you were. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You're not that same old person. But your mind has all the memories and all the thinking of that old person because it's not yet been renewed. And if your mind If the primary educator of your mind is your circumstances, you're not going to be renewed, because the whole world is fallen. All your circumstances, all your friends. Yes, sir. Sometimes the worst thing you can do, now you're not going to like this. Sometimes the worst thing you can do is be nice to people. Human compassion is as deadly as poison when it is substituted for God's compassion. And what I mean, let me give you a couple examples from the Word. When Jesus told the disciples, let's cross over to the other side. They have an assignment from Jesus. They know what they're supposed to do. They set about to do what God called them to do. And you know what happened? He went to sleep in the hinder part of the ship, and they're traveling, and a big storm comes. And I mean a deadly storm. And these guys are experienced fishermen. They've spent their whole life on the sea. They know about making it through storms. And it says, they fought all night. I have meditated that thing and seen that ship tossing and turning, you know. And I can see them maybe with buckets bailing out the water, you know. And I don't know whether they were rowing or sailing or some or both. And our mateys and avast and all of that. And they're doing everything they know to do. And finally, even they're convinced we're going to die. Now, after working all night as hard as you can, using all of your life experience, and you go wake the master up and say, we need a little help here. And so he calms the storm. See, and I would have thought, here's what I mean. The worst thing you can do sometimes is give them an attaboy. Pet their unbelief. Because in the early days, I would have thought he'd say, boy, I really appreciate y'all working hard all night. You guys did good. You really, I mean, you toiled and you struggled. I appreciate all of your effort. And I just want you to know, I appreciate everything you're doing for the kingdom of God. Is that what he said? He looks at them. How is it that you have no faith? And I can just see him standing there, drenched from head to toe, every muscle aching from serving Jesus all night long, doing everything you know to do to fight the devil. Everything, if you're going to paraphrase, fight the storm. Everything you've done, you're standing there, muscles aching, exhausted, tired. And he says, no attaboys. How is it you have no faith? Mark mentioned the time he called me and I gave him an OR moment. I didn't give him an OR moment. I gave him a Jesus moment. Amen. And I have been there. And I am fortunate to have been raised by OR Carpenter, to have certain traits in me. And I understand, but the symptoms were bad with his wife. In case you don't know, his wife was attacked with cancer. And now they've got a great report and things, we're over the hump and hallelujah. We're going to have full manifestation here quickly. I already have a lot. But he called me one night. Have you ever been there? I've been there. And I'm telling you right now, everything in me wanted to pet my friend Mark. It was a rough night. And I mean, the symptoms were bad and he was calling basically like, you know, your soul always wants to do. Help me. You know, what are we going to do? And boy, I heard the Spirit of the Lord rise up in me. I said, your wife right now doesn't need a wimp at home. This is a time for you to rise up and be the man of God that he has made you to be. You get in there and you run that devil off. You take the word of God, put it in something like that. Take the word of God, put it. Didn't I say something? She doesn't need Barney Fife right now. She needs John Wayne. I think I said that. The worst thing in the world I could have done for him or Deborah at that moment was pet their unbelief. People, we're coming into a time, and boy, Jesus, his love for you hasn't changed. His love for me hasn't changed. My prayer is even changing now. I'm starting to say things like, God, don't be so nice to me. If I need smacking around, smack what? And you know, don't get religious on me. He's not going to. When I say this, I don't mean put sickness and all that religious stuff that we were all taught. I'm saying I need, if I'm still operating, if it's my unbelief, tell me it's my unbelief. If I'm acting like a wimp, tell me so. If I'm getting other people to agree with my unbelief, get me to stop doing that. It's time for us to rise up and be the people of God we're supposed to be. You see how this message fits right with the other one? But it's time to really be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Your spirit man is not weak. Your spirit man is not fearful. The part of you that is born of God is not afraid of the devil. Amen. He's not afraid of circumstances. He's not moved by circumstances. He's not tired. You've got a spirit in you that's made in the image of God, you conqueror, you. Man was made for dominion in the first place. That's why men won't let go of the remote control. We know we're supposed to dominate. But we use it all the wrong way. We're trying to dominate our wife. We're trying to dominate our job. We're trying to dominate all of that. We're supposed to dominate the devil. You're made for that. The flesh has just perverted it into other things. But we're supposed to take dominion anywhere we find the enemy in God's garden. Enemies come in, done destruction to God's garden. We find cancer, disease, any kind of thing like that. Our job is to go in there and take the land in Jesus' name. Yeah, you're going to do that with a mind that still thinks you're a slimy dog worm, just an old sinner, and can't quit sinning and can't quit this, and I have no power, and my emotions just always tell me how to act. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That spirit on the inside of you is a warrior. If we let him, he'll train our minds to be warriors. See, there's really only two ways for your mind to go. It goes with the mind of the spirit, or it goes with the mind of the flesh. Thank you, Lord. That takes us to our next verse. Go to Romans 8. All I have on this paper are verses. That's it. Just so I know exactly where to turn to them. Give me a brief outline of the verses. While you're turning there, I'm just going to remind you of one, and the other witness that we have on renewing the mind is Romans 12, 2. You don't have to turn there, but he says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by getting born again." Well, that's the way everybody reads it. That's not what it says. In fact, that verse is written to people that are already born again. And he's telling them, if words mean anything, you could say it like this. If you guys don't renew your mind, you're going to keep walking like the world like you are right now. He's saying, be not conformed to this world. Don't think like the world. Don't act like the world. How do I do that? Be you transformed, here it is again, by the renewing of your what? Renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, here in Romans 8, he goes into great detail. And we may be into 7 here for just a moment. Yes, sir. See, verse 7, I grew up believing that verse 7 was talking about a born-again person having trouble with the flesh. And it's real easy to think that. I'm probably the only person in the room that's ever had this problem. But let's just look at verse 15. See, this is why it's easy to think. I'm talking about a born-again person. I've actually read this and thought it was talking about me. Romans 7:15 I'm talking about now. Romans 7:15. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Well, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." Anyone ever been like that? I'm not going to do that anymore. I hate that. I'm not going to do it. This is every person, especially the Jew under the law in the Old Testament, who had been given God's law and says, "Your law is right. I'm not going to covet. I'm not going to lust. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it." You could even go, "I hate it. I hate it. I hate it." And then you wind up doing it. Time to kill another sheep. And you say, "Well, I am going to pray. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that. I am going to do it. I am going to do it. I am going to do it." And you go to the movies instead. Now see, it's easy to read chapter 7 and go, yeah, I recognize that dude. That's me. And that's why people tend to think that's a born-again person having trouble with their flesh. Now, the symptoms are very much the same. The symptoms are very much the same. The difference is there was a law. Under the old covenant, nobody could keep the law. Why? Because there was a law of sin. Passed down generation to generation from great-great-great-great-grandpappy Adam. A law of sin and death. Let's finish reading chapter 7 and we'll come into 8 now. So, verse 17. Now then, okay, verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, now notice, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. Now stop. Think of every person under the law. Every person under the old covenant. They'd go to the temple. They'd hear the law. And what did they do with their will? I'm going to keep that. Yep. Don't covet. Don't lust. Don't commit adultery. I'm going to keep it. The will is present. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. This is the whole lesson of the law, all of the Old Testament. Nobody could keep it. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, you can take any verse in the Bible to an extreme and make a false doctrine out of it. See, there are people that say that they set for the born-again person, they say, well, see, all of that sin, that's just coming out of your flesh. It's not really you. You're okay. Basically, they're saying you can live any way you want to and you'll still be okay. No, you won't be either. No. Be you transformed. The goal is to be transformed. Right on the other hand, God is long-suffering, boy. Long-suffering. He will walk through hell with you and your faults. As long as you're doing those things that will eventually produce change in your life. Got that? But now notice here, they say, For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. What he's really talking about there, he's saying, there's something stronger in me than my will. There is sin somewhere in me that overpowers me. I find a law then, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Think about King David. Think about all of them. Think about everybody under the law. Most of them, they delight in the law after the inward man. They want to keep it. But he says, aha, but I see another law. Here it is. I see another law in, where is it? In my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. Now, if you underline in your Bible, underline the law of sin. I'll show you why in a minute. Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which he says again, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, and here it is again, that thing I had you underline, the law of sin. You got it? There's a law of sin. Chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here's the verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from what? The law of sin and death. The very thing that in chapter 7 he says, I can't get past this. No matter how I set my mind to do it, no matter all my emotions and all my good intentions, no matter how hard I try, there is something deep down in me, a law of sin, that it always rises up and it makes me captive again to it and I wind up sinning again. That's the whole problem of the Old Testament. That's the whole problem of man. the sin nature. But when you get born again, God puts a spirit in you that's of a different law. It is that new man that is created in righteousness and true holiness. And he says, if you'll let your mind be renewed by that man, you'll be free from the law of sin and death. Now, the mind wanted to keep the law before. Do you see that? The law, he says, with my mind, I delight in your law. God, I set my will. I'm going to keep it. But every time I try and do it with all my best intentions and all my best efforts, there's this law that, it comes from somewhere. It overpowers my mind. It takes me captive again and just leads me off, and I become a slave to sin again. God says, well, that's the problem. It's a deeper problem than the mind. It's a spiritual problem. You've got that law of sin passed down from Adam. It's in you. And only God could be this smart. He says, well, there's only one choice for you. You have to die. What was the law? You have to die. So we literally, well, let's say literally from God's point of view, when we say positionally, it's literally with Him. When you accept Jesus Christ, the Bible says you die with Him. You are buried. No, you are baptized into His death. From God's point of view, when He died on the cross, you died there also. That old man is dead. God prophesied it through Ezekiel. He says, I'm going to take out that old stony heart, and I'm going to put in a heart of flesh. You literally went from being a member of the lost species of Adam to being a not a firstborn, but a born from the dead in the new species of man, which is of Christ. And that's why over in Ephesians, he doesn't say, now whip that old man into shape and do better. No, he says, put that guy off. You'll never, that law of sin and death, you'll never be able to reform him. He died the death. That's why God gave you a new man to walk by. But the only way to do it, you have to let that new man retrain your mind. And you got to believe what God says you are. You got to believe what He says. Yes, sir. Go to Sunday. Now, let's come on down here in chapter 8. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Any of you that have not been down the born again trail, everywhere in the King James that you see a capital S in Romans chapter 8, it's not really talking until you get to verse 16. Yes. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. Every time you see the word Spirit and it's a capital, you need to make it a little S. He is not talking about the Holy Ghost here. He's talking about that new man that He created on the inside of you. He's talking about your reborn again human spirit. Just like you had a human spirit made in the fallen image of Adam, and that's the very law of sin that you couldn't overcome. That's what forced you and overpowered your mind and forced you all the time back into it. Now you have a born again human spirit made in the image of Christ, and it's come to dominate, honey. It's come to have dominion. But God never forces His will on you. He says you can have all the dominion you want, but you've got to bow that mind and let it be retaught by the new nature I put in you. Good stuff. Now, verse 5. Now, we said all that to get to this. Let's do verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Little s. You could say new nature, walk after the new nature. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now here he's teaching, verse 6, the same thing he taught in Ephesians 4. For to be carnally minded, not carnally spirited, To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, if you want to get real technical here, he's really talking about the new birth. If Christ be in you, you're of the Spirit. You're of a different species. You're not of the flesh species, even though you're wearing fallen flesh. That's the problem. But see, our mind does not... Did you notice the day after you got born again, you still remembered all your family's names? You knew all your children's names. You knew your friends' names. You had your same memories. Now, I know things are a lot different. They were for me. You know, the sky was bluer. The grass was greener. I actually thought the Arkansas River was pretty. You know, I drove across that bridge and that old muddy river, you know, and I thought, doggone, that's a pretty river, Lord. You made a pretty river. And I was going, I got to be saved. I had to get saved for that. Now, sometimes when it's running bank to bank, it looks nice, but that wasn't one of those days. See, and religion has done a lot to help keep us with an unrenewed mind. Now, they'll preach accurately the cross. It's just amazing to me. They'll preach the cross and preach it correctly. And you can go forth and genuinely get saved at the altar call. And the very next Sunday, they'll teach you, yeah, but you're just an old sinner saved by grace. Meaning, he loves you. He died for you. This is all true. Thank God. He shed his blood for you. You can have forgiveness and go to heaven. But right there, then they'll pick it up and say, but you're still just that same old sinner. If we believe that, we're never going to take the land. We're never going to take the land if we continue to think like that. You say, Gary, why do I keep thinking like that? Part of it is watching how you act yourself. You keep reverting back to chapter 7 in your thinking. Well, the good that I want to do, I didn't do that. I was going to pray. This last week, I was going to really pray. Did you? Well, not as much as I intended to. Or just pick stuff. Pick anything. I'm not ever going to lie again. Did you lie this week? Well, just a little one. On and on and on, you get to looking at your unrenewed actions to make you think you're still the same old person that you were before. I'm telling you what, the only way we're going to be renewed, we can't go by the outward evidence. The only evidence we have of who we really are is the Word of God. Our minds, that's why Ephesians is so important and all of it's so important. He's teaching the same kind of thing here. You know, we're contending for revival, the kind that we see in Matthew 15, where they brought the multitudes and they were halt and lame and blind and maimed, and they threw them down at Jesus' feet and he healed them. Well, that's the very kind of revival we're contending for. What I started to say with the picture, wouldn't it be something if the truth of the matter was God had given you an anointed hand, let's do it that way. He had just, you know, like a glove you could put on. Just bear with me, just for teaching purposes. He hasn't given you this exactly. For teaching purposes. What if part of your inheritance was an anointed glove that you couldn't see, but you could slip it right over your hand, and every single person from that day forward, everyone you prayed for, got healed 100% of the time. And that's why he gave it to you. Wouldn't it be horrible if you had that? You really had it? But you didn't believe you had it. That's exactly where we are. Not just regarding healing. I'm just using that as an illustration. Wouldn't it be horrible to stay so carnally minded? I mean, your spirit man tells, if that was the way it was, your spirit, what would your spirit be telling you when you listen on the inside? What would your spirit be telling you? You have an anointing from the Holy One. In His name, you can lay that hand on the sick and they will recover. In His name, you can use that hand and cast out devils. Wouldn't that nature be telling you those kind of things? And yet you're going, no, it can't be because I know who I am. How do you know who you are? What evidence are you receiving? What are you basing those statements on? Well, my history and how I act and how I think. But none of that is coming out of the Word of God, is it? The reason this is so real to me personally is that for years, and I've said this over and over again, so y'all know it's no big revelation, but for years, yes, sir, you're in Romans. Go to Romans 6. Now, I keep using this example because it so perfectly illustrates this passage. But in this one area, the Nicotinites were dominating the land. I smoked forever in 3 days after I got saved. A lot of other sins left right away. That one, boy, it didn't. And I mean, I kept trying to get rid of it, I knew it. The one thing in my favor is I never did say it was okay. I knew it wasn't okay, but I just didn't know how to get free. Okay? So, I would read Romans 6. Let's just start here. What shall we say then? Now get the image. Puff, puff. Now see, I'm using that again and again. I hope y'all are applying this to your life. Yes, sir. Okay, we'll do it this way. Now, for teaching purposes, because I've done this a lot of times, and he's telling me many of you haven't yet made the transition. I'm trying to be mean to me and nice to you, okay? Let's say instead of puff, puff, let's say it this way. Up till this point, every person you ever prayed for died. You know, just, okay, I'm going to pray for him, dead. Bring the next one. In Jesus' name, pow, dead. Trying to make a point. Here I was contending for a truth about freedom, that I was really free from nicotine, or free from that sin anyway. And the only evidence I had was his word. You all think about this. Well, I prayed and they died. I prayed and they died. Yeah, but what does his word say? In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall die. Is that what it says? They shall recover. They shall recover. But the evidence tells me, I'm telling you, I prayed for 67 of them in a row. They all died, all of them. Does that change his word? I sure smoked a lot more than 67 cigarettes when I was trying to believe I was free. And I'd read this. Gary, what are you going to say? Puff, puff. Are you going to continue in sin that grace may abound? Maybe. God forbid. How shall Gary, that is dead to sin, puff, puff, live any longer therein? I'm going, I don't know how, but I am. Know you not? And I'm going, apparently not. That so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. And I go, I'm not sure I was. I mean, I don't feel dead. I mean, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to a natural mind. What do you mean I was baptized into his death? Now I went to an altar, got saved. That's the only concept I had, you know. I didn't understand yet the truth from God's point of view. We could come on down through here. How about it's too long to do it all. Okay, verse 12. Perfect. Puff, puff, puff. Finish that one. Let me light another one. Puff, puff. A lot of times I wouldn't even have to get a lighter out. I'd just light one off the previous one. You know, if you're really addicted, you only light one a day. Way too many of you are laughing. Know what I mean, you know. You only light one. The rest of them, you light off that one. Verse 12. Just lit a fresh one. I'm reading, trying to read. You talk about a carnal mind. My mind was trained by my flesh. And it had been trained by my flesh at that point 38, 39 years. 38 or 39 years smoking. Started when I was 14, out behind the barn, literally. Stole some, this will take you back, some L&M cigarettes from my dad. How many of you remember L&M's? Oh, yeah, okay, you know. About threw my guts up. It made me so sick. My body did everything it could to reject it. And I said, I will smoke these things in Jesus' name. Not in Jesus' name. I will smoke these things. I was determined. I was going to possess the land. You talk about a sin nature and a carnal mind. Well, I'll tell you exactly why it was. The peer pressure. The school where I went, if you didn't smoke, you got beat up a lot. It's just the truth. You were kind of an outcast, you know. Everybody, all the guys, you couldn't even go join them, you know. You couldn't stand around under the trees and even talk. I know you young people today, you have no idea what it was back in the 60s now. You have no idea. We smoked in the Safeway. Are you kidding? Can you imagine going to Whole Foods and smoking in the aisle, you know? There wasn't any place. Smoke in the library. Y'all don't know the world we came from. And your heroes would be on TV marketing the things. John Wayne would be up there smoking on them, you know? Anyway. That's not an excuse. It's just programming. I'm trying to tell you, how does a mind get to be so deceived? Well, that's programmed. My mind was programmed that way. So getting back to this verse here now. Verse 12. How clear is this? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. That scared me so bad I have to light another cigarette right there. I knew I was in disobedience. And I'm going, that you should obey it and the lust thereof? And I just like the guy in Romans 7. I'm not going to obey you anymore. Not going to do it. Put that one out. Not going to do it. Where's my pack? Light up another one. And I'd read this. What in the world does it mean? Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. We could come on. Look at verse 18. I just hated this verse. I'd read this verse. I'd wonder if I was even saved. So verse 18. Puff, puff, puff. Been puffing. People would come over. If anyone come over where I was praying, that wasn't a Shekinah glory cloud hanging around over there. I'm telling you right now. You can get high just walking in where I was. Whoa. You felt something, but it wasn't the anointing of God. I'm telling you right now. A nicotine haze. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin. There it is. Past tense. Here I'm just puffing away. You became the servants of righteousness. I'm telling you, this is why people fall out of prayer. This is why people fall out of meditation of the Word. Because when you struggle in an area for so long, especially then if he starts showing... See, that's an area that I knew I had wrong. I knew that for years and years and years. You keep praying in tongues, there's going to be stuff so deep in you. He's going to show you an area that even you didn't know you was like that. And you go... Well, I feel worse now than when I started praying. I'm going to quit. Go to the first church where they tell me I'm okay. Mm-hmm. You'll never become John Wayne. You're going to stay Barney Fife too. And I love Barney Fife. You know, if we're funny, I don't want him on the front lines when I need John Wayne. Yeah. Well, what are we talking about? We could go on with that. You see the struggle? Now I'm using that one again because it's such a... I had to keep on. You have to keep praying anyway. And I mean wanting to quit. I don't mean quitting. Tried to quit the cigarettes. I don't even know how many times. Hundreds of times. But I'd fail again. The evidence of my flesh would overpower all the evidence of His Word. Now, I've said this before to you. I'm going to tell you again. One day I was walking out there, and I'd been at this a long time. I had the Bible. I was going through these verses again. By this point, actually, what I did, I'd printed them out as confessions on a sheet of paper, and I was just smoking and walking and confessing. Well, what are you going to do? Quit? What are you going to do? Just give up on the whole New Testament and say, that's just the way I'm going to be. I'm just always going to be this way. No! Sometimes these don't happen by the time the microwave dings. Times it's real war. And I was making those confessions and I was just upset. And I remember I just stopped at mid-step and I said, God, do you understand? I have no evidence I'm free except your word. As soon as I said it, I knew I was in trouble already. As soon as I heard it out of my own mouth, oh God. Boy, I heard it plain as anything. And that's all the evidence you need. Whoa. Whoa. Was that enough to get you free? No, I smoked for about 2 more years after that. But I kept praying. I kept confessing. And I kept smoking. Now, by the way, if your problem is axe murdering, we really don't recommend a regimen of cutting down. Well, I only killed 2 last week. I killed 3 the week before that. We may have to incarcerate you till you get your mind renewed, okay? So that's why we put people in jail and prison, see? None of this is on the notes of Bernard. Just the verses. I kept on praying. I kept on confessing. Kept on renewing my mind. Kept on listening to Dave. Kept coming back to this slopey church. Slopey floored church. Listening to a pastor in blue jeans tell me I need to pray. Glory to God. And eventually the day came. I didn't know it was coming. For all I knew is that the war was continuing. I didn't know. But see, you keep on. And if he has to appear to you in a vision, what he did with me, and gave me the help, I'm just that little nudge. Just plus, there was a year of serious fasting involved. I know you can't tell by looking at me now, but there was a year of serious fasting. And I wasn't even doing it for that reason. I was really doing it for somebody else. You know, the series kind, 2 days fasting, 2 days off, 3 days fasting, 3 days off, that kind. But continuous for a year. And he said the combination of the prayer, the fasting, the confession, and then that information he gave me was enough. And the day came, and I've never had another one since. But the war after that was terrible. The war to outlast the symptoms was terrible. Now, let's get on to what we're really wanting to talk about, see, because that's funny, and y'all go talk about it, and talk about old Gary over lunch, and I don't care, I think that's fine, but we're not really talking about cigarettes, we're talking about revival. What we're really talking about today is a renewed mind, and sometimes it takes a long time. You've got to... The evidence, just like he told me, the only evidence, I told him, the only evidence I had was his word. If I'd have went by my flesh, if I'd have went by the withdrawals, if I'd have went by the circumstances, if I'd have went by my history, if I'd have went by my family history, everybody in my family at one time smoked, all of them. The churches I used to go to as a kid had a smoke break and the pastor was out there smoking with them. I had strongholds in me. It took a long time. The point is, there's the only thing keeping us from revival today is the way we think. Now that's the point. And we're going to have to renew our mind, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, no longer be carnally minded, which is death, but be spiritually minded, which is life and peace. But it doesn't come just by sitting in a chair for 10 years or hearing even good messages for 10 years. It comes when you yourself get in the Word of God and let the Word start giving you the evidence from God's point of view. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Spirit teach your new nature and mature that new nature on the inside of you so that your own spirit begins teaching your mind. And you start becoming renewed, and one day, I mean, the shackles are going to come off, and that old image of every time you pray for a person dies, that's going to change. The true warrior with God's dominion is going to show up, And it's no longer going to be the Christians hiding behind the bushes and the shaking, "Oh God, the devil's after me, the devil's after me." It's going to be the devil shaking in the bushes saying, "The Christians are after me." I'm going to tell you one more time that Ephesians is the parallel to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is not about all the people of God huddled together trying to resist the onslaught of the devil. The book of Joshua is where the people of God have come to take the land. Everywhere that the enemy has got his feet on God's land, I've come to take it. First it's in you, first in Jerusalem, then in Samaria, then it's around you, then it's the hospitals in Jesus' name. God, who wants to be the first one to empty out St. Jude's? I'm ready to go there. You know, I mean, I'm ready. That's a goal that is in me that I will see before I die. God's will be done. And I thank God for that hospital. I thank God for everything they're doing for those kids. I thank God for that. But that is not God's best. And if Jesus has His way, just like we see in Matthew 15, where they brought the multitudes to Him of every kind, all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases, and they were healed, all of them, while they watched. Don't tell me that's not possible today. If they'd have brought the children's hospital, all of them there, they would have got the same thing. We can have this, but not just by playing church. Not by just trying to be nice to each other. That's good to be nice to each other. But we've got to be transformed through the renewing of our mind. What I mean is, you're not of this world. I read that prayer in John 17, the high priestly prayer. And he'd say to God, he'd say to the Father, talking about the ones that he'd taught, he said, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And I think, Peter, who denied the Lord 3 times? What's he talking about? Jesus was speaking prophetically after the cross. He was saying, when this is over, when my work is over, and they believe on me, in the same way that my spirit is not from Adam, their spirit will no longer be from Adam either. The same spirit I'm born of, which is of God, they're going to be born of that same spirit. I'm in the world, but y'all know he's not of the world. What we don't know is you're not of the world. You are not. Look to somebody, turn around, tell them, say, "I am not of this world. You are not of this world." Now, if that still sounds strange at all to you, it's evidence we've got a way to go in our mind renewal. Because that's like New Creature 101. That'd be a good course. New Creature 101. New creation realities. Amen. Well, make sure that I've finished what he told me. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, now, yes, that's what he... Go back to Ephesians now. Ephesians 6. The biggest... maybe I shouldn't say biggest. Seems to me to be the most favorite wile strategy of the devil is to get the people of God so busy doing normal things that they wind up... Their life goes by, and they never spent that time on renewal things, at least not sufficiently to bring the change. I'm starting finally to see why Dave would say to the Lord, he said, "Lord, those verses, we're not arguing with you. Jesus said, 'The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go to the Father.' Father, we're not arguing with you. We agree that those verses are true." But he says, "Father, it seems like the journey from knowing those verses to walking in those verses seems to be longer than most of our natural lives." And I'm beginning to see why. The devil, at all costs, must keep us from having a renewed mind. At all costs, he must keep us from that. He doesn't even care if you get involved in church things. as long as you don't spend time renewing your mind. Because that's the only way the transformation comes. I'm seeing it clearer and clearer all the time. Well, Ephesians 6, y'all know this passage. I just read it real quick and then I'll make a closing statement. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. First off, get it straight. He's not calling you to be strong in yourself. He put a John Wayne spirit in you, if you let me say it that way. Let's put it this way. He put a Jesus Christ spirit in you. Amen. Made in the image of God. Christ in you. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Isn't that a wonderful passage? Isn't that wonderful imagery? How do you put it on? How do you do it? By the renewing of the mind. Let me say it this way. From that passage, your mind is going to have to be renewed to what God says truth is. Your mind has got to be renewed to what God says righteousness is. You are righteous. The part of you that's born of God, the part of you He created is righteous. You are a child of truth. Our mind has got to be renewed. Every piece of that armor is a part of the mind that has got to be renewed. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation. And only then are you really ready to begin really speaking God's word from an attack motive. And only then really does your prayer really have the warfare capacity that God designed it to have. Let's say it this way. The more we are renewed to those things, what is the truth? See, like, go back to Gary in Romans 6 with my dilemma. What was the truth? What was the truth the whole time? The Son has made you free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Gary, has made you free from the law of sin and death. That never changed, did it? It never changed. It was the truth the whole time. It was up to me to possess the land. I was free the whole time. Well, those that believe on me, in my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's never going to change. It's your land to be possessed. It's up to you and up to me how much we possess it. At least now we finally know the how. There's really nothing wrong with your spirit. I'm telling you, the devil keeps everybody so introspected all the time. No wonder you think you're worthless. If you're going to look inward, look at the new man that he put in you. Start dwelling on the new man that's in there. Paul said, it's not even I that live anymore. It's Christ in me. It's no longer I, but Christ. Well, it is me, but it's him. In other words, he's so focused on Christ, that new man on the inside, he had trouble distinguishing between himself and Christ anymore. Glory to God. That be the day for the church. Hallelujah. What a goal for us. Well, how do you do it, Gary? Not by accident. I had to make those confessions. I had to make up my mind day by day. I'm going to confess them today. I'm not going to confess them today. I'm going to pray today. I'm not going to pray today. I'm going to get my nose in the book, or I'm not going to get my nose in the book. It's up to us. God has done for us what we couldn't do. We couldn't change our nature. He changed our nature. But He will not renew our mind for us. That is up to us. That is the promised land. Let us go up at once and possess it.